Right, I am going to call to order the High Desert Corridor Joint Powers Agency Board of Directors meeting, and I will ask Arthur Sahikian to take roll.
Thank you, Chair Barger. This is the July 13th, 2003 High Desert Corridor Joint Powers Agency Board of Directors roll call. Chair Barger?
Here.
Thank you. Vice Chair Becerra? Absent. Director Reyes?
Present.
Thank you. Director Doris? No, is absent today. Director Olson?
No. On his way.
On en route. So Director Loa?
Here.
Okay, so at this point, you're a voting member, Director Loa. And Director Najarian?
Here.
Thank you. So you have four members present. Chair Barger, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Now, why don't we stand and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. If you've got a flag near you, please face it, put your right hand over your heart, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the
Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that. We will now, Arthur, have public comment. Can you please read the public comment instructions to see if any members of the public would wish to speak?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate that. We're on item four, public comment, as the chair has directed. Do we have any public comment? If you do, we have tried to, have people do that in writing before the meeting at the email address you see there on the screen. Or if you're on the phone right now on the Zoom, you can raise your hand by star nine. And at this point, Madam Chair, I am seeing no public participation. We also do have remote locations, such as your conference room. So if there is anybody in person that you see attending at your locations, please let me know. But at this point, I see no other public comment.
Very good. Thank you for that, Arthur. Now we're going to go on to the consent calendar. And I would ask any members if there's anything they wish to pull on the consent. Seeing none, do we have any public comment on the consent calendar, two items?
Item for consent, the items are consent item number five and consent item number six. Again, members of the public, if you'd like to make any comment, please press star nine on your phone or the raise hand function. Seeing none, Ms. Chair.
All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve items five and six on the consent calendar.
So moved, Loa.
Second, Najarian.
All right, would you call the roll, please, Arthur?
Yes, so consent calendar on a motion by Director Loa and a second by Director Najarian. Roll call, Chair Barger.
Aye.
Thank you. Director Reyes.
Yes.
Thank you. Director Najarian.
Yes.
Thank you. Director Loa?
Yes.
Thank you. The item is approved.
Thank you. Now we will move on to item number seven, which is the High Desert Corridor High Speed Rail Project in Environmental Clearance Process update.
Thank you, Chair Barger. I'll take that item. We're on item number seven, and thought it was an appropriate time that, you know, at the January meeting, we had an update from the Brightline West project. At the April meeting, we had an update on the California High Speed Rail project. So we felt it was an appropriate time with our work currently with FRA in the NEPA process that we provide an update to the Board of Directors today on where we are in the environmental process. Please feel free to interrupt me at any time during the presentation, or I'll go through this rather smartly, Madam Chair, and then we can get right to questions, because I do know there's questions from several of the board members today. So this first slide is really one that we could pause and speak to rather than go through some of the other slides. This is kind of where we have been and where we are. So I'll speak to some of those slides that are preceding this, but use this one on the screen right now. So what has happened, as many of you were here and some of you that aren't, and bringing you up to speed, in 2016, the High Desert Corridor had a locally preferred alternative that was approved. Caltrans was the lead agency on that document, and it was primarily a highway first document with a rail line in the median of the freeway at that time. That was certified by Caltrans in 2016. And in 2019, Caltrans settled a lawsuit on that highway, basically saying that the highway could proceed at a later date with further environmental analysis, but the settlement did allow for the rail line to move forward. And in 2020, the JPA at that time, the Joint Powers Authority, submitted to the FRA for FRA to be the lead on the NEPA evaluation and National Environmental Protection Agency Act review. That was in conjunction with the Caltrans stating they would do a no build on the highway. So basically between 2020 and 2021, Caltrans determines that it is a no build, and the FRA then in early 21 initiates that they would become the NEPA lead. And we are still in that reevaluation NEPA process as we speak. Part of what that process entails, allow me to give you a few of the slides, but this one here, I'll give it to you in a little bit bigger of a look. This slide in front of you shows you what that actual alignment was. So this is the shows you what the highway alignment was, the proposed highway, along with the rail line going through that. As you can see, the where the highway connected to the 15, you should also see there's a black line that continues north. That's where the rail line was connecting to the 15. What's important for this to note is the rail stations, the actual stations themselves, the Palmdale station, that was cleared and environmentally reviewed in the Bakersfield to Palmdale section of the California High Speed Rail Authority. And the Victor Valley station is currently going environmental reevaluation on the Brightline West station. So it's very important for the board to understand that what was approved in the 2016 document did not include stations. It's included within the median, again, but it did not include rail stations. So that's a key point to what's going on, and partly why we're having to do reevaluation is because there have been changes made at both station locations. So to continue on, as I mentioned, the lawsuit and now where we are. So what's happening now with this reevaluation is, as we mentioned, we removed the freeway component. The other change, the major change, was the Palmdale station connection. So that is being revised in our plan to be concurrent with what was approved by the California high-speed rail station and the city of Palmdale. So there's two documents that guide us there. It was the California high-speed rail Palmdale station that was in the EIR, and then the city of Palmdale also did a specific plan regarding the station. And just for those of you that to understand, the Palmdale station, the current Metrolink station, moves to the south near Avenue Q. So the current Palmdale station will move south to near Avenue Q. That was the major change and what we're doing in the reevaluation. And on the Victor Valley side, and we'll do a little more information here on the Victor Valley station, because that's currently what we're involved in right now. That's being revised mainly because of the Brightline West. When they bought Express West, they have changed the alignment, and now it's running through the entire median of the I-15. About 6 months ago, the Brightline alignment had, and I'll use this visual. I think this is a good visual to show everyone. This is not in your packet. This is a visual I put together for the board meeting, thinking this might help to, you know, while I'm describing this, where we're at on the east side. So the east side, as you can see, the line in red was what, well, actually, let me step back and show you the orange line first. If you look at the orange line, that was what was approved by Caltrans. So you can see that's the original footprint. As you can look at the bottom left of your screen where it says Google Earth, you can see it's coming along there. So we're staying within that footprint, where now the blue line is what we're focusing on right now. Okay. So the orange line was what Caltrans had studied. So that's where the rail line, yes, it kind of just goes and stops in the middle of a mountain right there. It did not have a station, as we mentioned. So this is where it comes into the I-15. Previously, what was studied, it went under the I-15. So about 3-4 months ago, we realized with all the rain that has occurred, we've now discovered that there's an actual channel, not just some river flows under there. There's an actual channel that's flowing under the I-15 here through many of these Mojave River, tributaries that you see here in the map. So that was one of the things that we learned that made us pause from an engineering and design perspective and a cost perspective when we realized, well, these aren't just little tributaries we're dealing with. We're dealing with a channel. So that kind of made it one prohibiting factor of going under the freeway. The next thing we learned about 2 months later was that the Brightline project would now stay in the median. So here, what you can see, the white line is what we previously had thought the Brightline alignment was doing. That is the white line you see on this map. It was on the I-15, and then it was going off the I-15 in this yellow station area, as you see. What we learned in May of this year is that the Brightline station, and let me just pull up that that station rendering for you very quickly. Although it's on this one here, hold, indulge me for 1 second to pull this station rendering up for you.
That's in our packet.
Yes, this is in your packet, sir. This is page 74 of your packet. So I'm sorry to jump around a little bit, but I thought the visuals might be important. So this is what we learned in May, was that Brightline was now going to stay in the I-15 median on the tracks. And the station, as you see, will still be in that yellow area that we just were showing you. But the tracks itself would now stay in the median and not leave the median. So that was a change that we did not anticipate or know at the time. So basically, over the last 6 months, both the water that we've seen and now the inline change is what has caused us, or frankly, what is making the project team present to you today that talks about preserving the one seat ride. As your executive director, I know how important it is for this board to have the one seat ride from Palmdale in LA County connecting through to Southern Nevada in Las Vegas. So we had a decision to make as a project team whether we would have gone ahead and given FRA documents in February and March, as they were anticipating we were about to do. And thank you, Chair Barger. You had several discussions with the administrator and others at FRA, and frankly teed us up very well for us to be submitting those documents in February and March. But as your executive director, as we started to learn these factors, we thought it was very important to preserve the one seat ride and get it right now. We did not think it would be in the best interest of the project to submit basically what would have been this white line here to FRA, knowing that FRA knew, frankly, the Brightline alignment because they were in discussions with Brightline. So truly, we really didn't have a whole lot of choice to preserve this one seat ride. And you can see here on this map, this circled area that you're seeing here in black, this is where we would now connect to the median of the I-15 to preserve that one seat ride with Brightline. So as the project team, we felt it was very important to provide this engineering and this conceptual understanding to you as our board, as the local entity, and also to the FRA. So I had directed the team to compile this information and pause in March and April, the information we were about to give FRA. And why this is important is once you fix this alignment, you then create many of the studies and the environmental documents that you need. You create what's called the area of potential if effect, the APE. So I apologize for shifting around a little bit with you on the slides. I did think, again, it was important for you to see that visual of how that was coming together. But in general, we're, again, in this, the milestone map is probably the best one to give you as the main one. So where we are, that dot right now in the summer of 2013, we are likely getting the revised information that we felt we would get to FRA in March and April. We now will get them that in July. The team has been working on it. We have had good dialogue with Brightline West to get the information that they have presented to FRA. So while I'm frankly disappointed, and I know, you know, dealing with you, Madam Chair, and your urging and how this board wants to continue the moving, it's not always in my best interest to show up and tell you that I've moved out the timeline. But at this instance, I think it was the prudent decision to make because, frankly, preserving the one seat ride now is a very important thing. And not if we don't do that and had to come back and do that again in 2 to 3 years, the cost of this environmental document would have been more and the design would have been more. So again, knowing what Brightline was unveiling to the public and to the FRA, we felt as your project team that we should align with that, preserve the one seat ride, and bite the bullet now, frankly, and know that it's not always in the best interest of us to be have FRA waiting for documents from us, right? We always want to be in the other position of submitting the documents and waiting for FRA to comment. But again, as the lead of your project team, we felt that we should pause here and do that. So I'll go right here to the final slide, which is the next steps. To where we're at.
Ask you a question on that,
yes.
Arthur.
Yes, please.
So the consideration and review of the station is not the only thing that the FRA is looking at. So I'm disappointed as well, but in terms of discussing with, I mean, because that's going to be one part of, but there's other parts that they can continue to work on with the rod, right?
Yes, we have bi-weekly meetings, the consulting team does. And in fact, I have our next meeting with FRA next week, July 19th, I believe it is. And we go over the items that are continuing to move. But this focusing on what the alignment is frankly a real big part of what we're pausing over.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
No, it's a great question. Thank you. So this last slide that I'll go over on this just basically tells you where we're at. We are looking to submit in July. As I mentioned, we should have this fully engineered in the conceptual, have this, how we're connecting. This is slide 43 in your packet. And where we should be, hopefully in the next several months, the FRA should be initiating the meetings with the consulting, the tribes, as well as the State Office of Preservation. The good news is that while these projects have independent utility, the Brightline project and the High Desert Corridor project, there are some similarities that should hopefully make our review a little more expedited than this calendar. But I felt it was important for us to give you a proper conservative calendar. It seems like every time I come to this board and give you a date, I wind up swallowing that date. So I felt it was in the best interest to put in the proper review. This calendar puts in that review that would get us to next year. So at this point, we would hope to have a ROD by the fall of 2024.
Okay. And
previously reported, we hope to have that in the spring and early 2024. And I know, Madam Chair, that you had been expressing that to FRA. And again, my apologies expressly to you and to the rest of the board, the delay that we have to go through. But again, I felt it was in the best interest of the project.
Thank you, Arthur. I guess, you know, I'll just say that I know I'm disappointed, but I know that we're beholden to Brightline as it relates to some of the changes that took place. And so I guess my question to you is, have we put to bed any remaining concerns, or are there still details that we're waiting for from our partners that might affect the reevaluation? Do you feel that we're on the right road now?
Thank you, Chair Barger. Yes, I do think we've received what we need. That's why I put this back up. It's mainly this black section you see here that we're evaluating in the circle, and we have received the information we need from Brightline in order to preserve that one seat ride and connect in the median where there is still some work that will have to be made. As Brightline makes this change, I didn't show it on these slides, the profile of the I-15 will change. So the rail line will stay at grade. The freeway will be raised over the rail line. So right here where you see Dale Evans Parkway interchange at the north of this, much of this segment will start to raise the I-15 and the rail line will stay at grade. The engineering team at Caltrans and at Brightline felt that this was a more cost-effective move rather than raising the rail line above the freeway in this area. So to fully answer your question, we feel that we have enough here where District 8 is familiar that, you know, look, they're moving the profile of the I-15. We're going to likely have to move it a little bit on our side as well. When I say our side, I mean what would be the south side of the freeway.
Right.
The parts are right. Yeah.
All right. Because I mean, I, as you've said, I've met with the FRA and they've been very receptive and actually incredibly complimentary. And I know that the delay is not on their side.
Yes.
So I just want to continue to have the discussion and communication with them and let them know that we are still, while off the timeline that we wanted, that we're still moving forward.
Yes.
And now that we have that information, we can. So thank you, Arthur.
Yes. And frankly, it's part of what's in my executive director update. When I was recently in Washington, your meetings definitely had impact, and I'll speak more to that. And again, our FRA team, we appreciate their partnership and indulgence because we've had this consultation with FRA and we all believe this is the proper move so that the public can see what is the project. We don't want to do something and know we're going to change it in 2 years. So your counsel and your direction of wanting this one seat ride to continue into LA County was really the paramount decision maker here.
Thank you. Do any of my colleagues have any questions or comments for
Arthur? I have a question.
Get it, Rich.
So what is the status of Brightline actually beginning construction of the line? I believe they're probably going to start in Las Vegas to the California line. But when would they begin the construction there? And what's the estimate for this to reach Apple Valley once they begin? When is that expected?
Thank you, Director Lowell. According to the presentations that Brightline CEO has been putting out and that is in your packet that they have been talking about in May in Washington, D.C., they hope to break ground later this year. They did hit a milestone this week. The Rancho project did receive the federal clearance. It did receive the NEPA clearance for the Rancho section. The Victor Valley station that we're talking about, Brightline is in a reevaluation for this. They do not have, they have a rod, but they're reevaluating the station because, again, they're keeping it in the median. So they hope to get that clearance from FRA permitting in the next several months, next month to 2 months. So they should have all approvals and permits in hand by this fall, is what they're expressing. Starting construction end of this year. And the CEO stated that they want to be operational by the summer of 2028. He stated that there are venues in Las Vegas that will be for the Olympics and that he would like this line to be open in order to help the Olympics and work with the 2028 Olympics. So that's the stated goal of their company.
Okay, thank you.
And I think it's also worth, oh, yes, please, Chair, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but it's in my other report as well, that San Bernardino County Transportation Authority, SBCTA, in conjunction with Brightline, did receive a $25 million grant for the Victor Valley Station. That's in my executive director report, but that is something that Brightline and SBCTA will use towards that new design of the inline. So basically the platform will be in the median and the station will be in this yellow area right here.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? All right, do we have any public comment on this?
Let me check, Madam Chair. We're on item number 7. If there's any members of the public, yes.
Nate,
please.
I have a question about it. Exactly, how are the tracks?
Wait a minute, can you identify yourself so we can put it on the minutes?
What?
Your full name, Nate, so we could put it into the minutes.
Daniel Lichtenstein.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Lichtenstein. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Yeah. I would like to know how if your line is going to be a double track, are you going to have how is it going to connect into the Brightline tracks? Are you going to have one track hop over and connect, or are all the switches going to be at grade or not going to have any flyover track with that junction in the median?
Okay, Madam Chair, if I may, I think
yes, it's
a valid question here.
More of an engineering question is what I mean.
Thank you, Mr. Lichtenstein. So basically, as you can see here, as I was describing earlier, the blue line would be a raised structure going over the I-15 that will meet at the median with the Brightline structures and the inline platform. So the switching will happen at grade with the inline of the platform that's at the median. The HDC alignment will be going over the I-15 and then coming to be at grade.
Oh.
And basically we have about a 2 mile area of where that will occur.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that question. All right. Do we have another public comment?
Seeing none, Chair Barker. And even
this
though
this is a receive and file, so we don't need to take a vote on this item.
Let me make sure of that with us. I'm sorry, Ms. Jacobson, even though we are all being remote on this, do we have to do a vote on this receiving file?
Hi, Art. Sorry, I didn't catch that last part.
Yes, the chair, we're on item number 7, and we want to receive and file the report. And we know that we've noticed this under the Brown Act, the way it is with folks being remote. But we're wondering, do we need to do a roll call vote for a receive and file item?
No, it's not directing the commission or the staff to take any action. It's just accepting the report back.
Okay. Thank you, Council Jacobson. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chair Barger. I just wanted to double check. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to item number 8, which is your executive director's report.
Yes, let me be very brief, because basically I mentioned most of the items. Where I would like to spend a few seconds here is on the federal and state grants. We have had, as you know, state grant, we did receive on April 24th the $8 million in cycle 6. Want to confirm that nothing happened within the budget debate that will impede that grant award. We will have some discussions with council on the agreement and the amendment. We're understanding that that should be any day now when we should be getting that grant agreement. We are also working with SCAG to make sure that we're included in the RTIP, the Regional Transportation Plan, and the state plan. So to make sure that any of these grant funds would be included in the upcoming SCAG 2024 update. On the federal side, we did submit the grant request with AVTA, as we reported back at the April board meeting. I'm happy to report, I did not put it here in writing, that we have now received the HDC, the JPA itself now has received the federal unique identification number. So we can and are eligible for federal funds receipt. So we will figure out when is the best time with the FRA and the ABTA if we were awarded this grant, on how to ensure that those funds would flow directly to the High Desert Corridor JPA, and pat our friends at ABTA on the back and say thank you very much, and we appreciate their work on that. On the June 28th, I just mentioned the RAISE grant that was awarded to SBCTA. I think it is important to note that that is a partnership between SBCTA and Brightline West, for the Victor Valley Station. So that was a successful partnership between those two agencies. On the other item I'd like to briefly mention, we were participants at two conferences recently, the Verde Exchange, which is a looks at green technology here in Los Angeles. It had international attendance. And we were on a panel with Brightline West talking about high-speed rail. And in May, I was also in DC speaking at the US High-Speed Rail Association conference. And again, as you can see here, many decision makers and leaders were there. Chair Barger, that's where I did have the opportunity to speak to FRA Administrator Bose, who immediately mentioned your meeting and your dialogue, and impressed with the project, impressed with the local support of the project. He was very impressed on two main points that you brought up of the governance of the project, that we were able to reconstitute the JPA. And secondly, the local Measure M funds that can be used with, and the state funds that can be used to leverage the federal money. So the administrator took note of those two main points in our discussion. Also, White House Czar Mr. Landrieu spoke highly of you, Madam Chair, and had met you before at some various functions with the County of Los Angeles. So all in all, the conference was a very good opportunity for our agency, to let people know where our project was, and for us to be talked about on a national scale. Toward that end, the staff made a decision to join. We had funds in the budget, so we did join the U.S. High Speed Rail Association. As you know, Chair Barger remembers, we do not hire any lobbying teams in Sacramento or Washington. So I felt at this level of an expenditure, it was good to have a voice and an advocate there in Washington in the U.S. High Speed Rail Association. So We've been welcomed in open arms, and we'll be dealing with them on some further items and some national discussion. So the final note I'll say here that our budget was approved. We thank Metro. We thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Najarian for your work to approve the High Desert Corridor's budget at the May Metro Board. Our $1.9 million budget was approved. We will work with the Treasury and Metro to allocate those funds and continue forward on our work program where the budget now has started in July. So some good things going on. I appreciate the board's support and would indulge any questions or comments the board may have.
Does anyone have any questions or comments? And yeah, I want to thank Director Najarian as well, because I'm one of the directors, but I couldn't have done it without him on board as well at Metro. So thank you. Seeing none, I don't see any. Do we have any public comment on your comments?
Let me check, Madam Chair. Again, we are on item 8. If there's any members of the public that would like to, I see a hand raised. Mr. Lichtenstein? Eight. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw you mentioned a national conference in Washington, D.C. It was really nice to meet you there, Arthur. I was one of the attendees at that conference because I do a lot of advocacy work for high-speed rail, and I just want to compliment you guys are doing absolutely awesome work on this. One quick question that I forgot to ask earlier was, are you guys going to rent your tracks for income from Brightline, or is Brightline going to be using your tracks for free? And is the California High-Speed Rail also going to be running their trains over your tracks as well?
Arthur?
Well, thank you for the comment. At this time, those are decisions that have not been made. Those are, you know, we're all in the environmental process, and these projects have, they're independent of one another. While we do understand we will have interoperability, at this point, they are still independent projects, and those terms or discussions have not begun yet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, with that, do we have any, if any board members have any requests for future agenda items? I don't see any hand raised, but if you do, please feel free to reach out to Arthur, and we're happy to agendize any items that you feel are important and need to be brought to the attention of the JPA. And with that, I wanna thank you all. I know we're all busy and I appreciate you taking the time. It's moving slowly, but it's moving. And I think that's the important thing for us to remember, that we're moving in the right direction. And I feel that momentum is going to be in place shortly. And I'm excited for what we are going to do. And so I look forward to working with you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you. We're adjourning the meeting at what time?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're going to adjourn the meeting. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay. 2:42. Right. We're adjourning. I'll stop that now. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Man. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chair Barger. Thank you, Arthur.